time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Great day, and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed, standing in for Don and Sandra Tipton from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we just have to tell you, we have thoroughly enjoyed this past year sharing with you through the airwaves the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Not in our own words, but through the stories and lives of people that have lived out faith throughout the entire world. And really, that's the basis of our program today. We've assembled some of the highlights of some international brothers and sisters, some by phone, some in the studio, that have come with a gospel message, the great news of Jesus Christ that is being lived out in other countries. And we have really enjoyed going back and listening to some of these programs. The real challenge was trying to narrow down which ones would be played today. So we're going to sit back and listen with you today of some of our past programs, starting with Ian Haringa from Turkey.
With us today by phone, over Skype actually on the computer, is Ian Haringa, a missionary to Turkey.
The name of the mission is Aslan International Ministries. We have distributed New Testaments in Turkey for 20 years. We work with the poor, give out different help the poor in different ways. Yeah, we preach the gospel, so it's an exciting time there in Turkey.
Where is your base of operations?
In Istanbul.
Can you tell us a little, Ian, about, you say you've been arrested. Well, what are the laws concerning Christian activity in Turkey?
Well, there's freedom of religion according to the Constitution, but as soon as there's any complaint made, then the police will come in on charges of Christian propaganda. Or, no, we've never been charged, but there is a lot of persecution.
So when you're arrested, what happens to you?
Well, for instance, one time we were arrested and we were in jail for 3 days. We, you know, do what the Bible says you should do, should sing in jail, so we sang. And when they let us out, we had about 10 plainclothes police detectives come to our house, search the house. Our whole family was required to go down to the police station and interrogated. And there's a whole misunderstanding of preaching the gospel, but people are hearing the gospel.
Are the people very religious there in Turkey?
Yes, they're very, very religious. Of course, we had one guy, we gave him a New Testament, and he was from a terrorist organization, and all his relatives were terrorists, and he left the organization because he was going to follow the Lord, and they kidnapped him, and they were bringing him back into the organization, but then he started praying, and the two guys who were holding him, they began to tremble, and he took off and came back and continued to live for the Lord. So, yeah, the Lord wants to reach the lost, and they're repenting, so we praise the Lord for that.
Oh, beautiful.
Next, we head to Northern Ireland, which has had its fair share of civil unrest. But as you will see, there is a restored hope through the young people and Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and introduce Robin Semple and Jackie South. Welcome to Radio Friendships, both of you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now who is this group that you have come here with today?
This is the Lake Area Ulster Project, and it's an ambassadorship. It's bringing 8 teams, 14 to 16, from Omagh in Northern Ireland. What we do is we find 4 Catholic, 4 Protestants, 4 girls, 4 boys, and bring them over to the lake area. Right next to me here, I have Matthew Hempton.
Hello. And where are you from, Matthew?
Omagh, Northern Ireland.
How did you get involved in this?
Free church, and mum wrote my introduction biography thing.
And someone else is here today, a young lady.
Darvla.
Hello.
Hello, Darvla. And where are you from?
I'm from Omagh, Northern Ireland.
Why don't you guys tell us a little bit of what a normal everyday life is like in Northern Ireland?
Well, if you get up in the morning and you put on your school uniform, because a lot of the schools are one religion schools, and if you're walking down the street after school, people would know what religion you are, and some people are quite cool to those of other religions.
Have you noticed the same thing, Matthew?
It's the same thing.
I think things are changing, but and in some areas the sectarianism would be worse than others. Like Belfast, which is the capital of Northern Ireland, there's quite a lot of sectarian things going on up there.
Now, this is a big step in faith to come together and trust God for a different world.
Yeah, I think it's just we have to come out and show people it's possible to make friends with people of other religions.
How old are you, Matthew?
I'm 15.
15?
I'm 14.
Okay, as you guys have been working together and doing different things, is there anything that surprised you about each other?
Well, I think we like a lot of the same things. I think the only difference that we really have is obviously I'm a girl and Matthew's a boy, but the only other things are religion just, and everything else is pretty much the same.
What about your parents? Are they pretty happy that you're
here?
Yeah. Matthew?
Yeah, I think I'm a smother.
Now, if it was something that you've learned in Ireland that you think would be good to the believing kids here in the United States, what would you tell them?
I would say just try and get into as many cross-religion activities as possible to be able to make friends with people who aren't all that different from me.
Amen.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Sandra Tipton and Don Tipton at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. We have with us Kayleen Whitley, all the way from the Gold Coast in Australia. Kayleen was a tremendous part of the Friendships team for many years, and a short time ago felt led to return to her home country of Australia, where she's serving now as missions director. Today we want to tell the listeners a little bit about Cambodia. Now, can you tell us how you're involved with the mission in Cambodia?
We're involved with it's called the She Rescue Home in Cambodia. Our main church in Brisbane first started this off. What it is, they're working with child prostitutes in Cambodia. They're setting up safe homes, and what they're doing is they're bringing the children into there, educating them, they're counselling them, and it's just getting them off the streets. They have a team of people there that are Cambodians that are working, you know, undercover and in all different ways to get the children out. I mean, some of the kids are as young as 3 years old, and up to basically around about 14 or 15 is the average age. And they have them in this massive big like hotel, which is on the main street, and everybody knows what's going on there, but it's protected by the corruption and everything there. But it's just like a waiting hotel where the kids are just kept and waited until they're shipped overseas to wherever the demand is.
And these are Cambodian children that are one way or another removed from their parents and then are made to be sex slaves basically for on an international basis?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah, hideous. But some of the stories are just unbelievable.
Port Mercy is blessed with a lot of people that come to volunteer on the weekend and throughout the week. We have with us today, we've seen around Port Mercy quite a bit, but we didn't see her for a little while, so we wondered what happened. Turns out she was in Africa on a missionary trip, and that's Erin Marino.
We watched a video called Invisible Children, The Rough Cut, and I sat there that night for over an hour and just cried.
Why? What was the video about?
The video Invisible Children tells the story of child soldiers in northern Uganda that are abducted by a rebel group and brainwashed to kill and do brutal things to even their own family members and people they live among.
So these rebel forces are taking young children and teaching them to fight for their causes, kill other people, kill other children?
Yes, they resorted to abducting children to keep their movement alive.
Wow. These children have been deeply affected by this, correct?
Yes. A lot of the work that I was involved in with the organization was directly in the secondary school system. The kids there have grown up knowing nothing but war. So at a time now where there comes peace, a lot of it is about rebuilding and trying to give them a better education because they've gone through primary school fighting for their lives and fearing for their lives.
Literally.
Yes. Luke 17, 9 through 10. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. I did not go over there and do anything on my own, but all I did was answer God's call.
We have with us today a very special guest. We're honored to have John Weaver as our guest. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be with you today. Thank you so much.
John and his wife Jean are missionaries with Shelter for Life International, and they're stationed in Afghanistan. For the listeners who are not familiar with Shelter for Life, could you please tell us a little bit about what type of work they do, John?
Yes, we primarily build houses. We do programs to help Afghans resettle, primarily building houses, building shelter. The name kind of gives it away. We go by the name Shelter Now, trying to respond quickly to the people's needs. But we're also doing water programs and building bridges and schools and clinics and development programs, a variety of programs to meet the needs of the people in Afghanistan.
And how has the work been affected by the events of 9/11?
We would say very much in a positive way. Pre-9/11, the country was landlocked. The Taliban were in control of most of it. It was a very dark, bleak situation for thousands and thousands of Afghan families. Now, post-9/11, all the borders are open. People are coming and going. Afghans are coming back. A lot of committed Christians that are there sharing the gospel and helping the Afghans rebuild. Now, the news might show the bad things, and there are bad things that happen in Afghanistan, just like they do in any country.
Yeah.
But we see it from a different light, that God used 9/11 to bring about a very significant kingdom advance to the people of Afghanistan.
And is it possible to talk about your faith openly?
Yes, you know, I think we have more opportunities in Afghanistan than we do in America, because our Muslim friends are very religious and they're very curious and they're very interested. So we have people coming to us all the time asking us questions, and therefore we have many opportunities to share our faith. Yeah, we're finding that there is a hunger for the Word of God there. You know, did Jesus preach the gospel or did he meet the needs of people? And if you look at his life, he did both. And so by being there and responding to the felt needs of the people, it opens the door wide for us to share the gospel and to communicate God's love.
John, one of the themes of Radio Friendships is to allow listeners to hear of all the wonderful and diverse things that the Lord is doing around the world and to encourage them to follow the call on their lives. Are you at peace about responding to the call that God put on your life?
Yes, absolutely. Jesus is worthy of all praise and worthy of our lives, worthy of our obedience, and he's the one who has called us to this. He's on a passionate pursuit for his glory among the nations, even among hard Muslim nations. Jesus is at work redeeming his bride, and it is a privilege and an honor, such a privilege to be on this journey with Jesus, sharing his love with the Muslims of Afghanistan. So yes, to the listeners, I would say, let God speak to your heart. Let him break your heart to the needs of the world and respond to that call. What a greater investment than to give your life, the one life that you have, and live it passionately for God's kingdom and his glory among the nations.
And with that in mind, we've decided to include a clip of Sandra Tipton sharing about what drives Friendships Unlimited.
I think one of the most exciting experiences that people have when they come to Friendships is to be part of a faith community where we're not counting our pennies to see if we can do something, but we're being led as good as we possibly can by the Spirit to go in a direction, and we just go. And then we let the Lord do his thing and everything else falls into place. And I think that's special about here. There are many other places that are based on faith, I'm sure. But we actually go out there and do giant things in this way because of the Lord's great mercy, not because any of us are capable in any way or worthy in any way, but only because we're here saying, Lord, we want to do what you want us to do. We're not going to be controlled by the world or the assets to be able to accomplish it. We're going to go until we hit the wall, and then we're going to see if you open the wall.
Once again, we encourage you to visit the website at www.friendships.org. Now, why do we encourage you to do that so often? For one thing, it is an incredible source of information about the many facets of Friendships Unlimited. But also, another wonderful feature about the website is you will find applications there that you can download from anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, and fill those out and mail those off to Friendships Unlimited. Go check it out.
We are very honored and excited to have as our guest today Mr. Bob Brock, who's the mission representative of one of the most important, vital ministries around today, Voice of the Martyrs. What is Voice of the Martyrs?
Voice of the Martyrs is an organization that was founded by Pastor Richard Wormbrand. Pastor Wormbrand spent over 14 years in Romanian prison for his faith, and he wrote the book Tortured for Christ. And we exist as a mission, very simply, to serve the persecuted church through practical and spiritual assistance while leading Christians in the free world into fellowship with them. Around the world, we have many brothers and sisters who are facing severe persecution. More Christians, it has been said, have been killed for their faith in the 20th century than in all other centuries combined. Over 200 million Christians now face possible persecution in over 40 countries around the world.
Wow, it's hard to believe, but it's going on every single day.
It wasn't in biblical times, it's happening today, and they didn't deny their faith. They continued on, and that's an encouragement.
It puts our struggles in perspective, doesn't it?
I guess one of the things I want to say is, if any of your listeners have ever had a problem where nobody understands, nobody cares, their family, their friends, their fellow workers, they're discouraged, they feel all alone, they feel isolated, and then someone comes up and wraps their arm around them and tells them that Jesus loves them and Jesus hasn't forgotten them, it brings encouragement.
Absolutely.
And that's what the voice of the martyrs does to those that have been persecuted for their faith. Philippians 1:29 says, "For it is granted unto you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him." Think about it. What happened to the disciples? Did they become healthy, wealthy, prosperous with new cars, houses, lands, and businesses? No. Tradition tells us they were stabbed, stoned, speared, crucified upside down, and beheaded for their faith. And yet they were victorious. And yet they were victorious.
What an amazing ministry.
As our ships have traveled over the seas to distant nations, we have made many, many friends, and not always those that receive goods, but those that receive love. Shalhavit Leibovich is one such person in Israel. Let's listen to this.
Yeah, I remember the meal that you prepared for us at your apartment there. It's in Ashdod. And then you, at the end of the meal, opened your prayer book, and you spoke some beautiful Hebrew prayer. And then you started to translate it for us. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
It turned out it was a book of Psalms, I think Psalm 1. And we were familiar with it, and you looked a little shocked. And I think on that moment, we realized that maybe we're not so different.
No. Yes, we say the same prayers, and we know the same God.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that we are so different. Actually, I just feel very similar.
The huge wave of immigrants coming into the nation, that puts a strain on the economy, correct?
Yes, correct. But we do it anyway. And there are a lot of people from Africa who coming here to Israel and asking for help. And we cannot say no to these people, because in the Holocaust, the Jews was in the same situation.
You know, speaking of your family, they were living towards the south near the Gaza Strip at one time. Are they still there?
What, my family?
Your brother or sister lived down there and your family was visiting, correct?
Yes, correct.
How are things there?
Not so good, you know. My sister lives off Israel, and she's okay, but, you know, the road in the south is very, very bad, and Ashkelon is 15 minutes from here. And they feel very badly because of the Qassam. You know what I'm talking about? The
bomb?
Yeah.
Yes, the rockets?
Yes. You know, little children every day and families. And we feel very sad. It's going on for 7 years. No.
Now, as you're talking about that, I want our listeners here, just try to imagine for a moment that you're living here and within 15 minutes a rocket could hit somewhere near you or your children's school. This is something that's been going on, like Shalhavit said, 7 years. But let's not give the wrong impression, because the nation of Israel is constantly at a state of alert, and you do feel pretty safe there.
Yes, yes, everybody prepared and wants to help another people, you know. Israel, it's like a big family who live in the same country. And you know I'm not joking about it, right?
Oh, absolutely right. What is the biggest concern of Israel about America right now?
The biggest concern, I think, is we just need to know that we will stay forever, because Israel is like, I feel like a little baby of America, and I hope it will going to stay that way. We are very afraid of not feeling this love and warmth, just afraid that it will stop. The most important thing, we were going to be friends forever. You know, Israel is here in the Middle East, protecting the Middle East, I think. And you are there helping us. And I hope it will stay this way.
Well, as we continue to pray for the nation of Israel, we move back to the nation of Ireland, where we met this incredible man named Roddy Hixon, who gives us a candid and honest look into the spiritual climate of his nation of Ireland.
We're living based in Ireland. We're based south of Dublin. The church has ruled our country for a very long time. And in that, there is a terrible ignorance to the truth. People recite prayers. They don't speak to the Lord from their heart because they don't know how to. So they recite them like poetry or like some kind of a mantra. And now they're falling away even from Catholicism. So they're falling into total secular society, the worst kind of secular society, where money rules. Money is the god. Sports are the idols. And people talk about their idols, and money is the religion. And Jeff, that's awfully sad. If I read the words of the Lord, he says a great falling away is going to come. And I believe in his word more than I believe in the ambitions of men. And I'm not surprised when I see the falling away. What does sadden me is the fact that we are globally, as a body of believers, we are in the era of Laodicea. Whatever we do, let us all be very, very careful not to get caught in that dreadful trap of just being a weekend Christian. I called myself at that time, I called myself a Christian, but it was many years later that I realized that I actually had become a Christian in the full sense of the word. We were both members of a church which was very much involved as a cult. It was full of legalism, full of food laws and holy day laws and this kind of day law and that kind of day law. Thankfully, there was other Christian people who were praying for our church group, and we were led on a very interesting journey out of legalism and out of cultism into the liberty of Jesus Christ. He bought me with an amazing price. The liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ is an amazing occasion, and I think it's a day that each and every one of us remembers particularly well. We might remember what day of the week it was, we might not remember the date, but we'll always remember that day.
Next up is the longtime and wonderful friend of friendships, Reverend Max Manning.
We're on a mission for the Lord, and Brother Jeff, it's a real privilege to be here at Friendships Radio with you today. Our ministry is about 46 years old, the Global Missions. Our home base is out of Topeka, Kansas, and I've had the privilege of traveling to 70 nations with the gospel. And in Haiti, we've been working about 46 years there. And if you go to Haiti and you look at the situation, you give up in despair. So you have to look with the eyes of the Lord. I'd like for Jimmy to mention a recent thing that we saw, and it spells out, I think, the destitution of malnourished people. They go to extremes to put something in their stomach.
Me and Max just returned from Haiti about 2 weeks ago, and we noticed there's a hunger down there, and you know, it's a hunger for the physical body, but I'd never heard of this before, but there's people that they'll go up on the central plateau of Haiti, and they'll truck down this yellow mud, this yellow dirt, and then they take that mud, and they'll mix it up with some shortening, and sometimes they put sugar in it, and then they'll put it in the oven and bake it. People are so hungry, right, and it's just so sad, you know, 700 miles off our coast that people are eating dirt just to fill the void in their stomach.
As I look at the signs around us, we don't have a choice. Time is not on our side, and Jesus is coming. He's given us all the signs. So if we ever hope to do anything for the Lord, start doing it even in a small way. Start showing kindness, show forgiveness, show grace, show divine love. It isn't what I don't know that concerns me, but it's what I do know. I want to start doing it.
Oh, what a great way to finish the program today. Let us spend the next year doing what we know how to do and trust the Lord for what we don't know how to do. He is more than able to accomplish what He wants to accomplish through you and I when we make ourselves available and when we trust God. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Friendships. We look forward to spending more time with you this year. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433- 5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.